some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Oh, Father, thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to learn from you, to learn from your scripture. I pray that you'd help me as a pastor, Lord, to do a good job. I pray, Father, that you would help the kids and children's church, Lord, to learn their message. In Jesus' name, amen. I actually had this down for John 12, 44 through chapter 13, verse 1 through 30. But by the time I got the sermon, the allotted time done, I was still in chapter 12. So we're not going to do 13 next week. Go figure. John chapter 12, verse 44. And Jesus cried out and said, "Whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me. And I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come to the world to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore I say as the Father has told me." Amen. Sue Tipton, would you turn down? As we continue in our series in the Gospel of John, today I want to begin by looking at John chapter 12 and verse 44. Here it says, "And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And whoever sees me sees him who sent me." Jesus is telling us that there is a message that is behind him. He is indicating that the message is from God, and that there is a person that is behind him, and that that person is God. Jesus is not out there on his own. He is out there because God has sent him out there and given him a message. In the same way, we have to be really careful in our lives that we're not like out there doing our own thing. We need to be certain that we're doing what God wants us to do. Now, sometimes people ask me, "What do you think my calling is?" Well, I think that's a simple answer. So, what do you think your calling is? To love God. To love your neighbor. I'm way more simple than that. I think, you know what I think your calling is? I think your calling is to be nice. To be kind. To be patient. To be courteous. To be gentle. That's just a calling that we all have. It's a good thing. It makes us get along. It makes us be likable people. That's not our goal. Our goal isn't to be likable people. We'll talk about that a little farther on. But that is a common goal that we all have. God hasn't called anybody to be a meanie. God hasn't called anyone to be a bully. "I'm here to set the world straight." No, you're not. You're here to, hey, God, don't you go and scare the rest of us. God has a call on all of our lives. And before we can accomplish an individual call, we must accomplish a corporate call. Corporate call is to just be a good person. Jesus goes on in to say in verse 46, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. Are you in darkness? And everybody likes to think, no, I'm not in darkness. But I'm afraid that spiritually, sometimes we can be in darkness. Because people who are in darkness have certain things in common. People in darkness need to be led. Because they cannot see the goal on their own. They need to be led, they need to be directed, because when they look to the future, they can't see heaven, they can't see God, they can't see where to go, because they're in darkness. You know, it's just like at my house, if I go outside after dark, I take the dogs out there, I always take a flashlight, because I'm afraid I'm going to lose a dachshund. Okay? So I always take my flashlight. But even if I didn't have my flashlight, just a little bit of light, I'm real familiar with the terrain out there. So, but if I was at your house, maybe, and unless you have a lot of street lights, or if I was off in a national park somewhere and I got up in the middle of the night, I'd be really careful where I go. Because it's dark. I could walk off a cliff. I could walk into a tree. There's a lot of bad things, you see, that can happen. So people who are in darkness, they really can't see where they're going. People in darkness, not only is the problem that they can't see, that they need to be led. So they need to be able to hear somebody, you know, leading the way. Marco, Polo. They also need to be a part of a group in order to have a sense of security. So if you're out there in the dark, you don't want to be by yourself. It's like, ah, bear could eat me. But if you're in a group, you think, oh, I'm safe. Safety in numbers. And so people that are in darkness always want to be in a group because they're afraid to stand alone. And when you put that into application, that means they're afraid to stand against the tide of public opinion. Because when they stand up for what they believe is right, they get a pretty good shellacking from others. So if you're in the dark, you just want to keep quiet, stay in the middle of the group, listen for the leader, keep doing what you're told. People who are in the dark, they also need labels. They need to be something. Like one time years ago, I asked this guy, I said, are you a Christian? He said, oh no, I'm a Catholic. But, you know, it gives us comfort to have labels. You know, it's like, oh, I'm sorry I wasn't paying attention. That's my ADD. You know, sorry I rearranged all your furniture. It's my OCD. It's just, sorry. Some of those are medical issues. They're real. But other groups that are formed in darkness are choices that are made out of our darkness. Because people who are in the darkness, they find their identity by finding people who have the same fears that they have. And they have fears of what's going to happen to them in the world. So they back off. They get in these groups. They get sheltered in. They won't listen to any outside opinions. Those who want to live in light, they look within themselves because that's where Christ dwells. And they ask themselves, what's right, what's wrong? And they choose to follow what's right. They choose to make decisions based on what Christ is telling them to do. You know, there's been a lot of discussion this past week about the words that President Trump used concerning the car that drove into a group of people in Charlottesville, in Charlottesville Street. In particular, the media pressed him to, by name, condemn the white supremacists, the KKK, and the neo-Nazis. Now, these are, in fact, damnable organizations that are fixed in darkness, and they are void of the light of Christ. There is no place for those type of groups in any civilized nation. But having said that, then there's another temptation that comes from the darkness that's right there. And this is the temptation to say, well, you know, what those guys what they were doing was wrong, but those other people aggravated them. And you know, this is something that I've wrestled with in my own heart this week. This is something I had to come up with because this is how I felt. Well, you know what? If you're going to walk up to a mob of people, and if you're going to say to them, oh, I know you guys, you're white supremacists, you're haters, well, I hate you, what are the chances you're going to get thumped upside the mountain? I think the chances are high. But that doesn't make it right. Doesn't make any of that right. Doesn't make their being there right. Doesn't make me being there right. Doesn't make any of it right. See, what we need to do is we just need to back off and realize that something happened in the darkness. And what happened in the darkness was that a group of people got together who had a point to make. Dark point. They were challenged by another group of people. One of the people from one of those groups got in his car and he mowed down. He drove right into the crowd. This is the facts. A woman was murdered. A man will be sentenced. A woman was murdered. A woman, somebody's daughter, somebody's friend, a young person in her 20s, I think. She was young. She's gone. She's dead. She didn't go there to get killed. She just went there to demonstrate, and now she's gone. That's a terrible, sad thing. And a man who maybe all his life has been filled with hate, but nonetheless, someone who was created by God, someone who was created to love and to care, that person got in his car and with such rage just drove these people down. That guy is going to spend the rest of his life in jail. Several other people were hospitalized, and they're going to have lifelong, some of them will have lifelong effects. You know, think of how many people you know that have sustained injuries, and they're like, oh, you know, my back from that time I fell, or my leg. Those people are going to have it. All their lives, they're going to remember that they were there on that day, that they got hit by a car. Okay, can we not, as a country, because that happened in our country, can we not, as a country, just take a moment without judging anything and just say, something happened in the darkness, and it was bad. Without judging anybody, can we not resist the urge to blame the KKK or the neo-Nazis or the demonstrators? Can we not just pause and say something happened in the darkness? And I'm not going to pass judgment on it until the light shines in the darkness. Because that's when we'll understand. I don't know why can they put up statues to Confederate generals? I honestly don't know why they want to take them down. But it's going on in another state, so it's none of my business. I want them to sort that out. But I want them to do it in the light, not in the darkness. Because that's the call that Jesus Christ has given us. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Pointing out that someone sinned, and then that was responded by another person sinning, that is not giving glory to God. We are the light of the world. We are the ones that have to figure out how God is calling us to shine the light in that dark situation. You say, "Well, that's in North Carolina. Praise the Lord. I don't have to really do much." Well, okay. But you know, they just had a similar thing, minus the car and the death. They just had a similar thing in Seattle. See, there's mean, stupid people functioning in the darkness everywhere. So it's our job to shine the light. But if we are functioning in the darkness, our light is not going to do much. If I went outside at my home with my little dachshunds at night, if I took a cigarette lighter with me so I could keep track of them, I gotta tell you, it wouldn't put off enough light to keep up with them little scampering boogers. The wind would blow and the rain would fall and the light would go out and I'd have to keep restriking it. So no, I don't have that. I have the atomic beam. I mean, I turn that thing on and I scan it through the yard and it's like the sun came up. And if I'm thinking, what is that dog doing? I grab the lens and I give it a little pull and it just sucks a light right on that dog. And that dog is like, "I'm sorry, I'm just going to bed." That's the kind of light that we need to be. The kind of light that illuminates and points glory to God. The kind of light that asks people, "What are you doing in Christ?" And it'll prompt them to say, "You know what I'm doing in Christ? I'll tell you what I'm doing in Christ. I'm not doing nothing in Christ. I'm going to change it and start with something in Christ. Because what I've been doing doesn't glorify God. You know what? Driving a car through a crowd of people does not glorify God. Condemning a man for driving through a crowd of people doesn't glorify God either. You know why that is? Because everybody knows the man is an idiot. The man is a murderer. The man is evil. We don't all need to say that. We just know that. So where does he go from here? I don't know the laws. Maybe he goes to the electric chair. That seems sad. But I tell you what, we can't keep driving over people with cars and it being okay. Somehow it has to stop. I'm not the answer to that. But what I am the answer to say is, to say to that young man driving that car, do you know that you have to answer for your sins? This sin and all your sins. And you're going to sit before your God and you're going to find out that when he created his son, he made him Jewish. That's probably not going to sit well. My challenge to you this morning is to let your light shine in such a way that it glorifies God. John chapter 12, verse 47, Jesus went on to say, "If anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I have spoken will judge him on the last day." Now, most of us are very familiar and very encouraged by the verse John 3:16. Matter of fact, I bet maybe you could just quote that right off. But how are you with John 3:17 through 21? I'll just put that up there. It's kind of hard to read, maybe a little small, but I'll read it out for you. Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." That's good, amen? It's straight to the point. It's simple. "Whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Now verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world." Just like Jesus said earlier, "I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." Okay, so verse 17, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." So same thought. Now, whoever believes in him, verse 18, "Whoever believes in him is not condemned." Now, hold on to something funny. "But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." I was having a conversation recently with somebody, and I said, "Well, when you die, you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go to hell." They said, "You know, I'm just going to sit down right where I'm at and wait right there. I'm not going to go either place. I'm not worthy of heaven. I don't think I'm worthy of hell." You don't understand how the picture is drawn. See, we don't get to make up the rules. God makes the rules.
That's right.
And there's heaven, and every place else is hell. So if you just sit down when you die, you're in hell forever. You have to go to heaven. Otherwise, you're in hell. Verse 19. "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, but and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." It's just that simple. Keep moving toward the light. Every time you have a choice, and we get lots of choices every day, and you're presented with a choice, ask yourself which choice moves toward the light. Because that's the motion you want to keep making. Toward the light. Toward the light. Toward the way that brings glory to God. You know, you're... Okay, a few years ago, I was doing some monkey wrenching on a work van that we had, and I don't remember exactly what I was doing, but I remember I had a wrench on something, and I was pushing, trying to break the nut loose, pushing, all of a sudden, slip. My fist goes full right into the top of the engine. I just froze there. My coworker says to me, they call me Reverend. He says, "Go ahead and say it, Reverend. It'll feel better." I pull my hand back, big old cut on my finger. It's all flesh all peeled back and exposed. And I said, "How would cursing my God make my finger feel any better?" And my friend said, "Try it, it works." And I said, "I think I'll just go get a Band-Aid." You see, because when people are in the dark, they function in the dark. When people are in the light, they function like they're in the light. Jesus' agenda is clear. Though he is the eternal God of heaven, he was here on a mission to shine a light that would glorify God. In order for Jesus to do that, there has to be, in order for a light to shine, there has to be darkness to be expelled. But once it's expelled, then it's gone. And that's what Jesus has done. He's expelled the darkness. He's removed it when he glorifies God. We are called to hear his words and to keep them. And when we keep his words, we grow in him and become more like him. And we find peace and comfort in our lives. Doesn't mean things in our life are always peaceful. But it means even amidst the chaos, we can do just fine. Now back in John chapter 12, verse 49, Jesus speaks, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment that what to say and what to speak." Verse 50. "And I know what his commandment is, eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." Jesus said, "The Father has sent me." The Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. Now, what about you? What is the message the Father has given you to speak? If you don't know, start by removing all the things that you shouldn't be saying, and start adding in the things that you should be saying. It's a simple choice. Choose this, choose that. Let's take for example, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 24. If you don't know what to do, you don't know how to start finding your calling, let's put it. Now, I tried to make a point here with these crazy graphics, okay? We all know what the do not sign means. That other sign is supposed to be a yes sign. It's not a picture of a zombie. Okay? I just didn't have any graphics to choose from. But I'm going to read Galatians 5, 19 through 24. And that's not the whole verse of the passage, but all the words are up there. So you can follow along, maybe sort of. Verse 19 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident." So these are bad things. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger. I didn't say that yet. Fits of anger. Oh, blast it. I have fun with that.
Rivalries.
Oh, like you don't have trouble with fits of anger. Okay, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's scary.
Heavy on the
knot. Heavy on the knot, okay. Verse 22, though. But, that's always encouraging. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. So you see, there's bad things that we get rid of, but there's plenty of good things that we can go and do. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Is patience a good thing, by the way? Well, it doesn't seem like it sometimes when you're being patient, but when you wait through the patience and you come out on the other side and you haven't done anything stupid, that's a good feeling. So patience is a good thing, as is kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And then another passage that you can turn to where you can find kind of a list of do's and don'ts right in the New Testament is Philippians 2, 1 through 16.
And I want to read that to you, but the whole verse, the whole passage isn't up there, and that upper one really looks like something that's for Halloween. But I'm sorry about that. It's a graphic that's supposed to be encouraging. So I have a lot of gifts, but computer graphics is not one of them. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, find my joy, or complete my joy, by being of the same mind, having the same love, and being full according, and being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each one of you look not only at his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God something to be grasped. That means something to be held onto and not let go. But he released his equality with God. Verse 7. But he emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. It's funny that Sharon would bring up that passage from Revelation 14, that they overcame him, that Satan, by the word of our testimony, of the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and they love not our own life unto death. And here, he's talking about being obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. That's Paul's order, isn't it? But it is an order that we're given from the Lord. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. We live in a day and a time when people are promoting the idea that God's Holy Scripture evolves with the times, that it can change. It's an ancient book and it needs to be modernized. No. That's things out of the darkness. The light always shines true. In the light, you don't always get your way. Sometimes you get caught with no chocolate except the chocolate on your face. So they know you stole the cake. Okay? That's what happens in the light. And so we understand and function differently in the light, because we know we're going to be God. So my challenge to you is live like you're living in the light. Don't be drawn into wrong thinking. Don't be drawn into such thinking that the Bible is changing, or that it doesn't apply to you, because it does. Sin is sin. It's always been sin, and it always will be sin. But righteousness is righteousness, and it always has been, and it always will be. So live in the light and live in righteousness. I'm going to finish with this one passage. Psalm 84:10. For a day in your courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God has a sun and shield. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. This is Psalm 84:11. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. If you're feeling left out, if you're feeling like you're not getting what's yours, I don't mean to point fingers, but I want to say, no good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And verse 12 says, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the one who trusts in you. You know what? You may be flat broke and have no money. God's not withholding money from you. But that's not what he wants to give you. What he wants to give you is joy and peace. He's not withholding any good thing from you. Learn to be happy and broke, and you'll learn to be happy, and you'll be in the light. Don't worry about what people say, what people think, what people do. Focus on the Lord, and you'll find joy and peace. Your heart will be filled with love, and you will be satisfied. You say, well, Pastor, and Jerry can sit here and say, Pastor, I'm sitting here, I need a liver. I don't need $20. I need a liver. Got one, fail me, now what? All I can say is this. Peace to you. None of us know the number of our days. None of us. You could die of your liver affliction in the next month, and you could go to 15 funerals of people in this room before you get there. Because none of us know how many days we have. That's the call. Let the light shine. The light that brings glory to God. When I die, this is what I want you guys to remember. I want you to remember that I've gone to heaven and I don't care what you're doing down there. So y'all can have a wake, you can have a funeral, you can have a memorial, you can do whatever you want. You can just skip it all together. My wife always said, you want to be cremated or buried? What do I care? Roll me off in the ditch. I don't care. I'm gone to be with Jesus. You just got to let it go. Let the light shine. Let it shine now, that they might see you, Father. Because when he's feeling good about you, he's going to be doing good for you. You're going to have the peace. And all the stuff, where did it go? You're going to have the joy, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness,
the faithfulness, the gentleness, self-control. You're going to have all the good stuff. Because He does not withhold the good stuff. Worship team, you guys come up. Let's stand. That when we can be washed and made, we can be transformed. We don't need to be sucked in by the political or the media machine that's out there that's trying to control how we think. Lord, let us think according to your word, according to your call. That TV, Lord, that radio, sometimes it's trying to get in our brain and mess with us. Give us strength, Father, to be in the light, that we would recognize what's darkness and not light. We are not fish in need of bait. You have provided ample for us, Father. So help us, Lord, to be wise, to be careful, and to be sure. We just love you, Lord, and we thank you for this day and this lesson that we can learn. Not get sucked into the darkness, but walk in the light right now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The answer to that question in your mind is, well, I think so, I hope so, I get it. But this is what the Bible teaches us. The Bible teaches us that if you will believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That is, that you would believe that He was the sacrifice for your sin, your redemption to God. That all the sin that has been a barrier between you and God has been moved aside. That it has been assembled and it has been cast as far as the east is from the west. So that now when God looks at you, He no longer sees you through sin. He sees you as you are. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. So, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to do that simply by confessing your sins, believing that Jesus Christ is your Savior, making a decision to follow His teachings and His ways, and receiving the gift of His Holy Spirit to guide you all the days of your life. And when your time on earth is through, you will step from your body to God's kingdom. Because the Bible teaches us that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So praise God. Somebody say amen.
Amen. Amen.